B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
James, for that inspiring testimony and 111 good reasons to choose Andro 400. The most effective and natural way to lose belly fat, increase libido, gain energy, strengthen muscle while safely boosting your testosterone levels. So guys, how many reasons do you need for trying Andro 400? Well, here are two more great reasons. Order now and get free shipping plus an additional $6 off when you use the code SAVE6. That's SAVE6. Call 888-400-0435, 888-400-0435, or go to andro400.com, andro400.com.
Live from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast, you're listening to the sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic, The Fanatic.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station.
Welcome to The Fanatic Family. It's time now for the Gargano and Mertitus Midday Show with Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertitus. It starts now.
Oh my God!
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Tuesday across the Delaware Valley. It is the MLB All-Star Day. Jason Mertitus, Anthony Gargano is the Midday Show. And as we hit the All-Star break and the All-Star game, we should take inventory of where we are with the Phillies, where we are with the game itself. And Jason, let's start this off, because last night was the Home Run Derby. I got to tell you, I enjoyed it. I
mean, well, it's always exciting.
It was actually a lot of fun.
I mean, Vlad Guerrero's ridiculous.
I know. I mean, it was actually a lot of fun to watch the Home Run Derby. You know, I get the redundancy of it, but it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah, look, it's one of those things I look at when it's coming, I'm going, oh, geez, this again, and the Home Run Derby, it's kind of tired. But seeing the ball leave the park in baseball at an incredible velocity and at that frequency is like, it's still one of those things in sports, and it's a shame because baseball's bastardized it, but it's one of those things in sports you go, wow. You know, you still do, because you want to be that guy at the plate that hits it so pure you don't even feel it on the bat. And it just, I've never done it. I've never hit a ball at a home run. I played baseball very little as a kid, and I was never obviously a home run hitter. You didn't do that in T-ball, but I can't imagine the feeling. So when you see it, you go, whoa.
It's awesome. Yeah. That whole thing is a lot of fun. Now, could you have too much of it?
Sure.
Is the question.
There's a tipping point for everything.
We talked yesterday with Mike. Mike said, no, you can't do it. And but I don't know. I mean, you look at it now. Is that the reason why we have a problem with baseball? I don't think so.
Well, Verlander he thinks it's a problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, I would too if I'm Justin Verlander and I'm that good and I've given up 26 home runs by the All-Star break, which tells you the whole thing's out of whack.
Yeah, he's a great pitcher.
But if you look at big picture, is that the biggest problem with the game? Is there any problem with the game, which is the whole debate?
Well, that's kind of the debate you had with Mike yesterday.
Yeah.
And I agree with Mike's theory in this sense, that anytime the athletes in the sport are bigger, stronger, faster, they can throw harder, they can hit further, and all of those things, it makes sports better. And I think most sports are better because guys, like the NFL, the guys are bigger, faster. It's unbelievable what they can athletically achieve. The NBA, I mean, look at these guys now. If you watch a game from even the Bulls era team, it's like watching a different sport athletically, you know, just because many guys are so great.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, the skill part of
it's
it.
Evolution is what it is.
Basically. Yeah, I mean, the skill part of it, watching Steph Curry shoot a three.
Man, that's ridiculous.
It's absurd. There's a lot. Look, you watch Joel Embiid do the things that he does at 7 feet two is absurd. Ben Simmons. I mean, yeah, you got guys. And
LeBron's going to run the point.
Right, they're athletic and they're incredible.
Yeah.
The NBA is one era that I think is clearly better.
Yeah. There's still some changes I'd like to see there. I'd like to see them move that three-point back line back a tick.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I would be up for that. But I think the game itself is pretty exciting.
I think it's the positionless aspect of it. I think it's made it even more beautiful of a game.
Yeah, it's to me, that is the beautiful game, not soccer. But, soccer has its own feel, beauty to it. But I always love
relaxed offense.
Yeah, I always love that's the NBA's game. I watch the NBA. It does. It's a beautiful game.
It gives you gratification on so many levels. You know?
Yeah. No, I think that's the one sport that's obviously hot. That's in a great spot. The arrow is clearly straight up
with a rocket ship behind it.
Yeah, I love football. So again.
Yeah, to me that's. That's the gratification in sports. Like the home run was one of those really gratifying things when you went to a game to hear the crack of the bat and see that ball travel the way it did.
Well, I mean, I guess.
But is it bastardized?
You know, I mean, it's a good question because you do see guys with a half swing and the ball's in a flower bed, matter what flower bed it is across baseball.
Down and away, reaching home run opposite field.
You know, that cheapens it a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's part of it. I don't know that that's the problem of the game. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But just being here at home, when I look at the game, it's weird. I just feel off with it. I don't feel I don't feel connected with the game. I feel a little bit off.
Yeah,
I watch.
You've had a hard time putting your finger on exactly what it is.
Can.
Maybe it's a combination of things.
Yeah, I still can't. I just feel like I'm a tick off with it. Like it's not. I use the word satiate, right? It has not satiated me like in years past. And again, I'm talking like recent history. I'm not going back years. I'm talking just in recent history.
Yeah.
It's.
And that's not just because of the Phillies, because you watch the league.
Yeah, no, there's games I like to watch.
Yeah.
There's, teams I like to watch.
If you don't like watching the Astros, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a great team.
I mean, I like watching the Dodgers. I always, watching those lefties get up and. I always was jealous of the lefty swing because I had a right-handed swing. And there's nothing pretty about it. That lefty swing is always that beautiful, the way that thing just goes.
It just looks different,
Yeah, it's a pretty swing. The Phils themselves.
Oh, boy, that's another story.
Well, it's, it's disappointing. I don't think they're a playoff team.
I don't know.
I mean, they have a shot at a wild card, obviously.
Yeah, they're a wild card team now.
Right, and they have a real shot at it.
I don't know that they have much of a shot at it. I mean, they're in
it. Well, they have a real shot at the wild card because the teams that they're fighting with the wild card are equally flawed.
Yeah, except the problem is that Washington is on such a run.
No, I think Washington and Atlanta, I think, are playoff teams.
Yeah.
Can the Phillies outdo one of the Cubs or the Brewers is the question, and you have your Arizonas and maybe the long shot Cardinals. They haven't really hit at all in the first half, so you wonder, can the Phillies beat any of those teams?
Yeah,
the answer is probably you got a shot, you got a real shot.
Well, here's the deal, and who's that second half team that you don't think's in the mix now that's going to put on a massive show in the second half and get there? Colorado did it years ago. Other teams have done it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I the pitching. I just don't think the Phillies, especially with Arrieta now.
Yep. Bingo.
You're going to try to make a trade, and you got to make a trade. Real Muto talked about it. You got to make a trade. To get you some kind of some relief when it comes to your arms.
Well, to make a trade though, you have to have something to give up. And what does this farm system have for them to give up right now?
That's true.
It's slim pickings down there. So I went on the playoff probabilities search for Major League Baseball, and right now, according to the probability calculator of where they are, what the other teams are doing, what they have left, and everything, they have a 26% chance to make the playoffs. 26 right now. Now, the Braves, 96.4% in their own division. 78.6 for the Nats. And when you consider everything, that feels about right, the 26%. And then the other part of the equation is, which you can't measure with numbers or anything else, it's in your head, is McPhail, Klentak, Gabe. That's the other part of the equation that you have to measure here.
Yeah,
you can't do it statistically.
Well, you're not going to do it. That's a big picture. I think that's for the end of the season. Mm-hmm. To kind of figure out.
Klentak did all these moves last year. How'd they work out?
Like, where you're at.
Wilson Ramos.
Right. Like, where are you at, when it comes to, an organization, your build?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that seemed a bit off with their lineup.
Yeah.
Obviously, their pitching is glaring. But the lineup, and it's hit lately. you know, when it's hit against the Mets, I don't know. I look at the lineup and I go, there's something off. Now, obviously, losing McCutchen was a big deal, but they did bring in Bruce, and boy, Bruce has kind of saved them.
If they didn't have Bruce, they'd be...
you know, because he's giving you a lot of power that you haven't had.
In huge spots.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a guy that's been clutch.
It's amazing that the lack of power that this lineup has produced. I was completely wrong. I thought this lineup would have a lot more, would be able to mash its way to the playoffs.
Brings you full circle to the juice baseball and the amount of home runs in the first half of the year, Anthony. 3,691 home runs. Baseball on pace this year to hit 6,668 home runs. That's going to obliterate the record of 2017 where they hit 6,105. You're looking at 500 plus, 550 more home runs this year than just 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an incredible number. Now you got to parse that out over all the teams in baseball, and it doesn't look as daunting, but still, it's a ton. But why is this team not hitting
them? That's right.
I mean, that's a big question. I'm in a weird position, though. I see the 26% chance, and I kind of thought about this last night as the home run derby's going on. And I'm going, you know what? I'm not going to be shattered if they don't make the playoffs. That was my expectation going in. I wasn't saying World Series or anything like that. I said, this is a playoff team with the improvements they made. But I'm not going to be shattered. I can't use up any angst because I'm heading into a fall winter where I have two teams that I believe.
Yeah, but 114 if you take the Phillies by themselves, exclude, you know, for a second.
Mm-hmm. Compartmentalize
it. I get it because I feel the same way. I'm anxiously looking forward to football like we always are every year. And the Sixers are like in this incredible new spot. But put those aside for a second. What about, where are you with this team? I mean, you know, as much as we grouse about them, you know, again, I do view sports like my kids. Because I love each and every one of them for a different way.
Yeah. And you can look at them individually.
Yeah, and so, like, I am disappointed by this season.
I'm disappointed by this season, and I'm also disappointed in Klentak over the last 3 years. The drafts. The cupboard is not stocked. Anthony, throughout the history of this team, they have not been able to draft and develop. You see all these other...
That's been a hallmark of this franchise.
That's their identity.
Long before Matt Klentak. And I might, believe me, you know, he has not impressed me either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I look at this, for whatever it is, this franchise has not been able to develop consistent talent. We were talking about it with the bro and Tyler before the show, just how the lack of outfield. Like, how could you not get stud outfielders?
Yeah.
It's amazing to me, like, how you can't even get lucky with a stud outfielder.
Yeah, look at all-star outfielders from the Phillies since, like, the 70s. There's two. Lyszynski and Dom Brown.
Yeah, I mean that's insane.
I mean, I know you drafted Burl High, and he never made an all-star game, but
you got to somehow get lucky.
Especially when you draft at the top of the draft all the time because you suck most of the time.
Outfielders. But it goes back to like somebody's draft, like Moniak. Why would you take a guy that's got literally no power, that's a pencil bat?
Yeah. Pencil bat.
Why would you do that? Yeah. Like, why would you, you know, again, now we'll see.
You get too cute.
You know, Bohm looks like he's legit. Looks like he's
Charlie likes him.
You know, it looks like he's a real deal, but there is a lot. Now, the other thing you have to worry about, and this is what I worry about with the current regime, is how are they teaching the game? The only thing that concerns me, the biggest thing that concerns me, I want to say, because there's more than one, but the biggest thing that concerns me is that all of a sudden J.P. Crawford's starting to hit. Like, J.P. Crawford couldn't do anything here.
He's batting like 196.
Right? And all of a sudden, like, he goes to Seattle and he's hitting the ball. Domingo Santana hits the ball. You know, Carlos Santana leaves here, has his worst year ever, goes back home to Cleveland, you know, via, and the next thing you know, he's got 25 home runs to the All-Star, but 26 to the All-Star.
Yeah, it's crazy. And why is that? Is that the coaching of overthinking?
Is that the directive that you're ordered to, you know, take pitches and, you know, where you're not just kicking off the fastball, which they've done for 150 years.
Yeah. There's a lot of problems, and I'd love to hear what people think the biggest problem is and what they think the probability is of this team being able to make the playoffs, to make the necessary moves to get pitching in here, to get the help that they need. I don't have a lot of faith that that's going to happen. So I'm not going to let it bog me down when I'm getting ready to.
Yeah, but when you talk about the team, I mean, it's a part of you.
Yeah, no doubt. 610-632-0975. We're going to celebrate a little birthday today.
Yes, we are. 86 years.
Not my birthday. Not yours.
No.
That would be the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, a little birthday action for the Eagles. 86 years yesterday.
Yeah.
So we've got some series of questions to ask people to look back at the 86 years of the Eagles.
Yeah, love it. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show. That's Anthony Gargano right there. Jason Martinez with it. We're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
On the Midday Show. So we're just batting around having some fun because the Eagles franchise turned 86 yesterday. So we got some categories and to honor the birthday.
Yeah, 86 years of Eagle football.
Yeah, of the franchise.
Think about what Eagle football just means to the people around, the sports fans in Philadelphia, even beyond sports fans, the economy, the effect of football on everything.
Yeah.
The deli, the bar.
For so long, it was the, really the beacon while the other franchises languished.
Mm-hmm.
They were the beacon.
Yeah. They were the one that...
Because you can say what you want about them, right? Like, you know, even though it was, 52 years that you had to slog through, they were still good. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't like they were hapless like the Lions. They were always the kings of close.
Yeah, they were almost there, like knocking on the door of being a team that could bust all the way through. They get to the Super Bowl in 80, then they get the Super Bowl in 04 season, and then...
But even in between, I mean, you had...
A lot of playoff wins in there.
Right, you had playoff wins, you had good teams.
Mm-hmm.
You had a lot of... You had a team that was competitive.
You had great players.
Yeah, for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the great players that they've had from Reggie and obviously Brian Dawkins and all those years, and going back even further, if you want to go back into Tommy McDonald and those guys.
It is funny, though. I will say this. This Super Bowl has affected us. Even now, I feel the effects of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I'm wearing the Super Bowl shirt today. I mean,
yeah, you are.
I busted it out for the birthday today.
Like, I still think the Super Bowl has had a really calming effect mm-hmm. on everyone.
Well, it was a profound moment. It was the pinnacle moment in Philadelphia sports, even though we had a championship in 08, which ended the 100 seasons of no championships in 25 years, and 83 beating the Lakers was, and then 80 with the Phillies, but that was and it's not because it's the most recent. It was the pinnacle because the Super Bowl's the biggest.
Yeah,
it's the biggest achievement in sports.
You were so close for so long, but, I can still feel the effects of it today. Like, as we approach training camp. Training camp is, and I'm not saying like going there because I still think we missed the idea of going to watch training camp. But I think training camp as a whole, as a milepost in the calendar, has lost a little something.
It definitely did last year, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing this year.
Yeah,
I think because you look at it, and you go, all right, it's cool. It signifies it's back, but this is a pretty complete team. So we just got to get through the preseason healthy
and come out healthy, ready to go.
Like, you're not really looking to glean anything from the preseason, other than like watching Carson and how he moves.
Yeah, and with Deshaun and some chemistry there, or you maybe look at a little bit at that secondary,
like that part of it. But where's
the camp battle?
I don't know. It's
the old
funny.
School camp battle.
I mean, it's pretty much. I think the positions are pretty much entrenched.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that we feel that there's the same, you know, the eyeballs that used to be fixated on training camp. I don't see that.
Yeah.
And I do think part of it's the Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah, I do too.
And, hangover, whatever it is. It's just it's the effect of, all right, you know. No, the season comes, everybody's going to be nuts.
Yeah.
But I don't think the training camp preseason is the same as it was pre-Super Bowl.
Yeah, because, and I agree with you. I think the reason why is because after you win the Super Bowl, training camp becomes even less important.
Yeah, right. And even all season.
Yeah. We've talked less Eagles this offseason than we have in decades.
Yeah, in the history of the media.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No, in the history of the media. It's the truth. Look, there was a monster story. So had the Sixers not been that monster story, I'm sure we would have talked a ton more Eagles. But I look back on it this past offseason, and I mean, we've gone days and days and days without even talking about the sport.
Yeah, think about
it. It's never used to happen.
Yeah, think about the difference if what happened with Alshon and the pass happened and they hadn't won a Super Bowl.
We would be forlorn. Oh my God, we would be tortured. If that moment happened,
it'd be another one in a long list. It'd be another scar in your ribs.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy that goes, you know, like I feel full after one Super Bowl. You certainly want more. But there is a part of you, I think it's only human nature, mm-hmm. that it takes away the angst. Like, we had angst every offseason. Mm-hmm. Who are they going to get? What's it look like? Is this finally going to be the year? Like, those are big questions that hit off of every offseason. What's the rest of the landscape look like?
Who's going to be the team that... I mean, we got to overcome.
We would go through NFL rosters and what this team look like? What's that team look like?
And when the Eagles play them, who do they play the week before? Or are they looking ahead? We were that detailed about it. Well, we lost a label when they won the Super Bowl. We lost the label of a team that's never won a Super Bowl.
I mean, be honest.
That's a big label.
The fact that the thirst was quenched. What effects does it have?
It's definitely effect. I saw somebody, I think it was E-Rock, the other day posted on Twitter. He goes, Sometimes I wake up and I still can't believe that we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I have the same feeling. I really do. Like, I wake up and I kind of go, like when this was laying on my floor this morning because my closet collapsed. My shelf fell down. Right. So we're pulling everything out. And this was laying on the floor in a hangar this morning because my wife was cleaning it out. And I saw it there and I'm going, oh my God, I still can't believe that I have that kind of... I have a shirt that says Super Bowl champs on it. I never thought I'd see it.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm cleaning out my drawers yesterday to get rid of stuff because of the closet flat, I found the shirt from 1993 when the Phillies went to the World Series and won the National League. It's like a tissue thin now. And I found a World Series championship shirt from 2008. I'll bring them in tomorrow and let you see these. And I've been hanging on to those. Why? Because we didn't have anything else. And now I got the ultimate. I got this. I got the Super Bowl 52 championship shirt.
Yeah, but it's also I think that moment changes the way we are.
Mm-hmm.
It just does. It changes. I think back to it, and I think about all the springs. I mean, starting in March, free agency, April, the draft, even the last two drafts because of the Sixers. We didn't give it the amount of coverage. Well,
I felt ill prepared for this year's draft, I'll tell you.
And the fact that, you know, they draft late, so it's got a different feel about it.
Yeah, and you're not in a quarterback sweepstakes to try and find your next franchise quarterback after McNabb. It's not Mike Vick or Cobb that you're going into a season with. You're going in with Carson Wentz. You had the luxury of Foles before. There was some dialogue and some storylines there because of the Foles factor. But you're right, it's one of those things now where it is different, and that's also because of the product of the team. Because you have an owner that put the right pieces in place after Chip Kelly to get and a GM that you trust, and a coach that you trust, and a franchise quarterback, and guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Brandon Graham who have come up big for this team. So, and you look at that offensive line, guys that you love like Jason Kelsey and Zach Ertz and Jason Peters is a Hall of Famer still doing it, you know? You look at all those things and I go, there's just not a lot of questions that
that are
tearing my brain to shreds right now. They're just not.
No, that whole level of it is
think about it.
It's changed, man. It's changing it in a monster way.
Yeah, I mean, when 10 years from now when we look back on it, not one of those guys is still playing in the NFL that was on that team is maybe when the true perspective of what happened will hit you. It's going to take time for it to really kind of, like you look back at 08 now and none of those guys are playing. Utley's retired.
Oh, look, Ryan Howard's going to have a big night coming up this weekend. But again, I go back to it, and I guess what I really want to talk to people, and we'll give them some of the birthday questions later on, but just to start this whole conversation, and start the conversation of the offseason, and I really think is that Super Bowl. Now, this goes without saying, so I don't need you to go to be fake about it, go, oh, my God, you know, I want a dynasty. Yeah, we all want a dynasty.
Yeah.
I mean, we want
to be the Patriots.
Right, we all want a dynasty. We all want them to win a Super Bowl. We are hungry for it. But how is the fact that they won and the thirst, the ultimate thirst was quenched? What's the impact of that?
Yeah.
Are you not at, and again, this you could still be in the training camp, but you're not desperate. They're not like, oh my God, and feel the need to talk about them 24/7.
Yeah, and dig up on the internet.
Like, there's a part of me, like, you know, there's a part of me today that when we're going through, like, what we're going to talk about, you and I discussed this, but, you know, that whole Russell Westbrook thing and going to Miami and you know, now that he's like, all right, I'd go to Miami and see if they can figure it out. Like, that is, that's still the NBA landscape. It's still kind of fresh.
Yeah.
It's still kind of like what I'm like kind of really into.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that's part of the reason why, maybe to bring a full circle here, is when I look at the Phillies, I'm not angst-ridden if they don't make the playoffs because I know I got this Sixers thing and I got this Eagles thing and I'm just.
Yeah, but they're playing though. Like, this is like in the teeth of the season. That's why, that's why I'm a little bit more.
Yeah,
you know, that's why they're a little
in the
more
moment.
Front lobe.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. I'm going to watch the rest of the way and know that they have the foundational pieces here for the Phillies. And that's, to me, I want to see the foundational
like,
pieces
honestly,
solidify.
Like, I don't know if they have the foundation.
Well, I mean, I think you do when you have a Bryce Harper and you have a Rhys Hoskins. We'll see if they can keep JT. But there are.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. In baseball, like, you still got to say it. Like, you know, you have to see that they have enough pitching, enough core pitching.
Well, the one thing I really worry about, though, is that what's on the way to supplement this team.
Yeah.
And I don't see much on the way other than bomb. But you know, other than that, and I know they have some other, you know, prospects. And prospects in baseball, to me, are dime a dozen. It's the unknown versus the known. You use those to get pitching. But I don't know, man.
I'm not going to trade Bone, though.
No. I saw what Charlie had to say about him this weekend. He's a 40 home run guy.
Yeah.
And there's a guy I trust.
Played third base.
Hitting.
Yeah.
I trust Charlie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Implicitly.
Yeah.
610-632-0975.
But I want you to be honest with us and you know, how has it changed? How the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, how's it changed your view? And really, you know, part of your whole thing, which is, you know, are you just, hey, man, season comes, I'm ready to go, but you don't feel the need to talk about it incessantly?
Yeah, where sometimes you had to manufacture enthusiasm. We never had to manufacture enthusiasm for training camp. It was just there because you never won. One of the things that has me at a different level and back to a high level is the fact that it's Carson Wentz, and he didn't win it last
time. Totally. But here's
that whole scenario.
But if you're going to be real about it, the thing about Carson is, You got to see him play. You just got to, and again, you know, he go out week one and have, you know, throw for 330 and three touchdowns and look great. And we're all excited, but he's got to last the whole season.
Yeah, that's the long play. That's what it's all about. This is tournament poker. This isn't that cash game.
Right. This is like he's got to last the season.
Yeah.
And then he's got to do it. Like, part of me, because I love the guy, and you know that. But part of me is going into this season kind of white knuckle, because there's a couple things. Like, he's got to prove himself. I think there's a lot of people, and I get it, that were Foles people first and thought that they should have kept them. There's a ton of pressure. Even though Nick Foles is in Jacksonville, there's a ton of pressure, and maybe even more so because he's in Jacksonville, on Wentz to perform and to perform, go back and win games. I'll tell you a story. Last year, there was a moment when I forget which one. It was there was a couple losses late, and Wentz was getting the blame for it. There was one. Remember the comeback?
Yeah.
It was about 20-0 or 20-3, whatever it was. They went up
17-0 one. 17-0 lost Carolina.
21-17, right? Yep. So it was all that, and like there was a lot of blame. And I remember talking to my cousin about this, and he's like, "Listen, Carson still hasn't done it." I was making excuses for him. Man, come on.
Yeah.
And I mean, everybody's right. Like there was a ton of pressure on him.
Yeah.
As much as I love him, like, you got to deliver. Yeah. It's funny. He and Ben Simmons have the most pressure by far on their shoulders.
No question about
it. In this town.
Yeah. 610-632-0965.
One is Carson, but not a distant two is Ben.
The biggest X factors for sure. Nick in Collegeville starts us off on the Fanatic. What's up, Nicky?
Gentlemen, what's up, guys?
Yo, Nick.
I'm going to say this is the first day back from vacation, because you had a weird week last week, and then Monday is like, you know, recovery, rest and recovery time, you know, even though you're on the clock, but it's the first day back for me. Listen, I called to talk Phils and you, Jason, specifically, but Anthony, you brought up a great point at the end, which is there's a Ben-Wentz discussion, but here's the Grand Canyon difference between the two. Quarterback needs a head or slash brain and an arm. And there's a lot of quarterbacks like, what's his name in San Diego, who has an arm.
Rivers, yeah.
You know, yeah. Yeah, the cabeza head or a melon head. But Ben, on the other hand, he's a point guard, and a point guard needs a shot. So it's two different worlds between, I have all the confidence in the world with Wentz. He might not do it, and I'm on the other side. What you were saying earlier, I'm the guy who said, yeah, you know, he looks great, and at times he's a monster, and he looks like the MVP of the season. But, you know, last year he had a couple times that the offense needed him just to make a play to push us over the hump, because everybody was struggling a little bit, and he didn't do it. So this is a big year for him, and he has a full training camp, which is great. He should be the healthiest he's been since coming to the Eagles. But that's why I'm not really worried, because I know he can throw the ball down the field.
So when you look at training camp as preseason as compared to pre-Super Bowl, is there a difference?
There's a massive difference. Now, look, I'm a couple years older, so maybe that helps also. But like, we got offer backs. Like, we didn't have a 500-pound gorilla on our chest that we were facing them. We were face down in the sand, and we had a 10,000-pound gorilla on our back. We couldn't even see him. We just knew he was there. I just feel much better. Because you know why? The other thing, unlike the Phillies, not only did we win it, the draft and the player personnel that Joe Douglas and Howie did back-to-back to replenish some older players, to bring in some new players, to rehash some contracts, like, that's why I'm down on the Phillies, Jason.
Yeah,
not the Eagles.
Because you don't have that same optimism or level of trust in the front office.
Yeah.
Absolutely fair. Absolutely fair. I mean, what have the Phils done in this since 2012 to stock the cupboard?
Yeah.
All that losing, what has it gotten you? 610-632-0975. Fascinating discussion. The parallel, and more I'm thinking about this, the parallel between Ben Simmons and Carson Wentz that you just brought up, I hadn't thought about that. That's very interesting to me.
Well, they are the two with the most pressure on them.
And we know what pressure does some people.
I mean, you got two championships riding on both of them.
610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show, and it's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It was on the other day.
Was it? I haven't seen it in a while.
It was on like Stars or something, and I caught it just like the last 40 minutes. And as soon as I saw it was on, I clicked it like an idiot, and I was done.
Yeah,
you gotta watch it.
Yeah.
The helicopter's chasing him around.
Yeah, I haven't seen it for. You know the problem is, sometimes it feels worn out. Like I need a lot more time in between viewings.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it became such a part of a pop culture. Even as old as it is, people still reference it.
Yeah. Doesn't Marty have a new movie coming out?
Yes. I heard you paint houses.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
That's a strange name for a house or for a movie.
Well, paint houses where you were a contract killer.
Oh, okay. I did not know.
Paint the house with blood.
Okay.
You spray it.
Oh. A little blood splatter expert over here. Yes. I didn't know you had that going in your resume.
Well, that's what it means.
610-632-0975. That's the number to get in. A couple open lines. Let's head to Brooklyn. Talk to Izzy. Joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Iz.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Iz.
Anthony, I love those commercials. I can't get enough of your commercials. You make commercials fun to listen to. That's amazing with those commercials.
Well, he sold me. He sold me on the Bagster dumpster in a bag. I got in the driveway.
Yeah,
filled with drywall.
He could have the same commercial 1,000 times. I'll never get tired of his commercials. He has such a rhythm to his commercials. He's in perpetual motion. It's exciting just to listen to
perpetual motion. That's great.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's an art.
I'm not quite as optimistic as you guys with the Sixers. I'm going to tell you why for a second. Okay, in 1966, when I seen the Sixers take that title, we had a great bench player in Billy Cunningham, one of the best bench players I ever saw in my life. In 82, 83, we had Bobby Jones come off the bench. Well, he was kind of like a starter almost. And we had Clint Richardson, so I like that bench.
Mm-hmm.
This bench, we have three journeymen coming off the bench. I don't trust any of them. And our bench coming from these rookies that we drafted, I don't trust any of them. Maybe Shaiak I trust a little bit. But the other guys, I don't trust at all because they're playing an open court game in these summer league games. They can't even handle the ball. They're tripping all over the place. They can't dribble. They're falling on the floor every second. You can't expect anything from these rookies because they can't dribble, they can't shoot, and I think the Sixers have a great starting team that will probably win 58 games, in my opinion, maybe even 59 games. And when it comes to the finals, they're going to trip over their own feet because they have no depth. So here's my point. My point is this. We have five excellent starters. Embiid's going to play probably around 65. Embiid, Horford's going to play probably about 72. So who is going to be the one player from this bench? Because I can't think of a single player that's going to become the fifth player when we rest Embiid or he's injured, or we rest Horford and he's injured. Who's going to come in and play?
Probably O'Quinn or Mike Scott. Listen, I hear you. I mean, they are dangerously thin. They need one of the kids to step up. I mean, you got Scott, who I thought played okay last year. Off the bench, you got Ennis, who played well during the playoffs, right? During the playoffs, I thought that was real is. And I think you're going to see somebody at the deadline or the buyout, they acquire another piece or two.
Yeah, but you see what? I want to start it now. I don't want to wait till February.
See, the
problem is you got no money.
Yeah.
And during this season, it gets a little bit easier. That's their plan. They know that their bench is a little iffy. They know that is. And that's why they'll address it. They'll see what they need and they'll address it at that point.
But this is why I don't think they're going to win the whole thing. I love this.
But they're not complete right now, is what we're saying.
Yeah, they're not complete to win the whole thing. And that's.
Yeah. Don't you think, though, that they're also a little bit built a little bit better for the half court game in the playoffs?
Okay. That's my next point. It's an excellent point, by the way. Excellent point. The Sixers have a terrific half-court team. I love the half-court team. I want them to play half-court basketball because it'll preserve the careers of Horford and Embiid, okay? And that's number one. Number two, since we are and we should be a half-court team in the season and in the playoffs, why are the Sixers in the summer league, why are they playing open-court basketball when these guys need to be prepared for a half-court game so they can learn how to play half-court?
Yeah, that's really the nature of the summer league and what it turns into.
It's run and gun.
You know, I mean, listen, all you want to see now out of summer league is to get these kids get some run. That's it. You got to be careful about looking at these kids and thinking, all right, well, you know, this is who they are. You got to remember during the regular season, they're going to win. Even as you said, 58 games. See, I think they're really good, and I think they're built for the playoffs. I think their length is really something special. Yeah, and I agree.
Defensive ability.
Like, I agree they need to me, a guy that can shoot the three off the bench.
Korver?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a possibility. That's a possibility now.
Mm-hmm.
But they need somebody off the bench that can shoot the three. And I think bigs-wise, they're fine with, you know, Scott and O'Quinn. You can figure all that out because of the versatility of the starting five.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting in August, and I think it's usually around like August 10th or whatever, August 15th, when their schedule comes out.
Yeah.
To see how many back-to-backs they have and back-to-backs with travel and what the teams are in those back-to-backs to see how you can load manage both Horford and Embiid.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big factor. You know, the NBA's trying to limit the amount of back-to-backs, but there's still a decent amount of them. Or it's the three games in four days.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not as sweating out the bench yet. Like, to me, it's still, you know, listen, they know that they need a little bit more power, firepower off the bench. Like, they know that.
That buyout period.
They
say
they also want to give it. You also want to give the kids a chance during the first part of the season, you know, playing second quarter against your Memphis's. And what they're about. Let's see if Shake Milton. I mean, right now, look, they're struggling in the summer league. I get it. They came back from whatever 34 last night, the fourth overtime. But you know, let them get their feet. Let them get a rhythm of the league. Let's see what you got. Like, you know, it's fine.
That's the time to do it.
To see what you got when you know that you're an elite team. And again, I love their length so much. I think their length makes them automatically a deep playoff team.
Mm-hmm. And the way they defend, and now they'll be able to defend the perimeter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.